still have your notes from last week, you can just keep those notes because they're part. We will go on tonight. But if you weren't here or you don't have those notes, I will go over them quickly to bring you up to speed on this. As we talk tonight, the second part of what's ahead in the days to come. And as I said earlier this evening or earlier this morning, that this I'm not a firm believer in just saying what's next, what's next, what's next, what's next, because I don't think we know what's next. All we know is the Bible says, stand, be ready, be prepared for whatever comes next. God is sovereign. He's in control. Nothing is not going to happen that doesn't fit into God's timeline, but we don't always know what that timeline is. Our job is to be ready. So we said earlier that the situation of what's ahead in the days to come, what's the situation, and now that was last Sunday night, the situation. Now tonight we're going to talk about the solution. The condition, not good, but the correction given to us in the Word of God. The predicament that we're in today is sad and kind of frightening, but at the same time we have a prescription for that. So I want to show you or share with you, I should say, the verses that we're predicating. There's so many verses. There's books and books and books written on the end of times. This is not a study, thank you, on the end of times. It's not a study on the end of times. It's what's ahead as we come into and are living in the end of times. Matthew 13, 24 says, "He put another parable before them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in the field? How then does it have weeds?" He said to them, "An enemy has done this." So the servant said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" And he said, "No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together." Emphasize those words. "Both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, 'Gather the weeds first, bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into the barn.'" And then if you want to go down to verse 36, I'm not going to read it, but that's the interpretation that Jesus gave of the parable there. The good seed, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The weeds, of course, is the are the sons of the evil one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. So that's one of the verses. Now notice also 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. We read this last week. But understand this, that in the last days will come times of difficulty. Depending on the translation you have, it should be perilous times or difficult times. Or, in other words, there's going to be times of great distress and duress. For people will be lovers of self. This gives now an indication of the situation at the end of time. And we see all of these things today in multiple measures. People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. Now, I just want to take you very quickly. We shared with you last week our thoughts that this message falls into two categories, two lines of thought. That is, the last days will be the worst of times. The last days will be the worst of times, notes from last week. And then the last days simultaneously will be the best of times. So we're going to have the worst of times and the best of times. the weeds and the wheat, the parable tells us, growing together. And we will notice that, as we noticed last week, that what that means. These will be perilous days, terrible times. That word means violent, dangerous, unmanageable days, difficult, hard to bear. So all of those are going to be some of the characteristics. And then I quoted to you what Carl Henry said that I thought was so worthy of this. He said, paganism will grow bolder as Americans progressively loses its Judeo-Christian heritage. And we're seeing that, aren't we? Where there's an onslaught. We're almost on the defensive nowadays as believers of what we can say and what we can do without running up against laws of the land that have been adopted in direct opposition to what God calls. God calls the things that many of our lands, our laws of our land today, God says are abominable. They're not even sensible. So Carl Henry had that part right. And then what is going to be some of the characteristics? And again, we're seeing these. There's going to be a rejection of God. I'm often amazed. There's usually two extremes of people that come into our office for counsel. One is some of them will say, when we share Christ with them, some of them will say, I was taught this as a child. My mom, my dad, my grandma, my grandpa. I went to a Bible preaching church. They know what that is. And so you can share Christ because they have an anchor for their soul. On the other hand, I said the other day, a guy came in, but we sent him to, got him on the bus. But I said to him, do you believe in God? And he said, you'll have to tell me. I'm not sure. No, I don't think so. I think there's a lot of gods, you know, the Hindu thing. So we explained to him there again some of the things of the Scripture, showed him out of the Scriptures, in fact. So there's a rejection of God, even in ignorance. You'd be surprised how many people today don't know Old Testament from New Testament. They don't know. They couldn't name the disciples if their souls depended on it. They did a survey a while back. I watched it on YouTube. This guy stopped people randomly, and he said, can you name three of the 12 disciples? And it was amazing. I think he stopped 10 or 12 people while I watched. Only two. They were calling up names I never heard of. I thought, well, maybe I need to reread what's in here. Because some of them times had biblical names, but they weren't. There's such an ignorance of the Word of God today. So there's a rejection of God. There's a total moral collapse. We're seeing that in our morality today. We talked about that. We don't need to elaborate on it in the interest of time. There's a breakdown in our society. People are hostile. People are running full of rage. Somebody cuts in front of you nowadays, and that's almost a license to cut them off and shoot them because they cut in front of you and did something terrible like that. And then it goes on, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. That's one of my greatest concerns as pastors, that there's a form of godliness in many churches today, but there's no call to repentance. There's never an invitation given. There's never any decision. In fact, I don't even know who it was. I was talking a while back about a funeral that was held here in the community. Won't name any names, but they said it was a wonderful message, but it was just left in midair. There was no call to get ready to meet God as the person that they were honoring in the funeral did. It was just a presentation without a call for any action whatsoever. We're seeing that more and more and more. So the worst of times are going to get worse. I'm not one of these doom and gloom persons, but I do want you to know that if you think it's bad now, it's going to get a lot worse. Prepare yourself. Even prepare your children for that. And I'm not talking about frightening. I'm not talking about negative thinking. But I think it's good for us. So often nowadays, kids in junior high and high school will come home sometimes and they'll say, I don't know about being a Christian. Everybody's against me. We need to prepare our children at the ages that they are in public schools, that you will have people that differ with you, people that will put you down, and then present it in the positive. That's part of the price that we have for being and serving Jesus. put it out there in a positive manner that they can expect that and not be deterred by that. So that's the worst of times. Then we said it's going to be the best of times. And we read that there, that let both grow together. And then we went over to Acts where it says, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Carry over from Joel. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Young men shall see visions. It shall come to pass, I love that at the word, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Over 100 times in the Word of God, we see that glorious word, whosoever will may come. And anybody that denies that or anybody that tries to qualify that in some manner is adding to the Scriptures. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever let anybody tell you differently, because that's the foundation of us as believers presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Repent and believe. And whenever we try to add to that or people take away from that, I just turn them a deaf ear, because that is non-scriptural. Now, what difference does it? Well, I want to take you now to where we're going to begin tonight. What difference? What should we do? We talked about people that used to call when I pastored in another place, a mountainous area. They would send letters and $5 or $7. Send me a map of the Bighorn Mountains where there's caves and streams where I can retreat to in the last days to get away from the persecution. I always returned their money and told them that, you know, I didn't believe in Christians running into caves. Not to avoid persecution. So here's what I believe we can do. Number one, how can we approach this? What should we do? Number one is be alert. Be alert. Or you can add there, you can write to the right of it. Stay focused. Stay focused. I like to watch videos or YouTubes of elk hunters and deer hunters. And it's interesting, they'll sit up in the tree or they'll sit on a good place where they can see. And I could tell you stories of people that have fallen asleep on the stands while they were there. You've all had that or know about that. Some people sat there and drifted off. And an elk would go by or a deer would go by. And the people that were driving them got so upset with them because they're supposed to be watching and shooting, taking it. They weren't alert and the opportunity passed by. Be alert. Stay focused. When I go fishing down to the gorge, you can use two poles, and one of them I use to cast with, and cast and cast and cast, and the other I just use is what you call a dead stick. You just throw it out there, and then you tighten up your line. After the sinker hits the bottom, you've got your worm and your marshmallows floating up above it a couple feet, and then you set it in a holder, and you tighten up the line. But then your job while you're casting is to keep your eye on the dead stick, because every now and then it'll go whoom and it goes over. And if you're a long ways away or if you're not paying attention, you're not going to catch the fish because you weren't staying focused on the dead stick. My thoughts to us tonight is in these last days, there's going to be a time of confusion and spiritual delusion, and your presence here tonight in helping to keep the Word of God straight in your mind and fellowshipping with other believers is a part of staying alert and avoiding delusion. 1 Timothy 4:16 says, watch your doctrine, your life and your doctrine closely. In other words, keep an eye. Stay familiar with the Word of God. I hope, and I believe so many of you, since I know many of you quite personally, I know that you take the Word of God and read it during the week. Don't let the Word of God be something that you reference, that you bring with you on Sunday or on Wednesday, and don't read it at other times. I hope you have 3, 4, 5 good devotional books to go along with what you read, and that constantly you are keeping yourself alert to what good and godly men and women are writing, as well as what the inspired Word of God says. So, number one, in these days of time when things are going to get worse And when they're going to get better, stay focused, stay alert, be watchful, occupy till I come. Here's number two now, be bold, be bold. Stay realistic. Don't think because you speak up for what's right or what's wrong, or you speak up for Jesus, people are going to say, "Why, I just admire you. I've never thought about that. It's never come across my mind." You saw the response that Cynthia Loomis got the other day down at the university when she mentioned that there's only two sexes. Not everybody stood up and applauded and said, "Yay, I believe just what you believe." No, they booed and shouted down, and then the president of the university put out his qualification about the university being so open-minded its brains have fallen out. And that's almost literally what is happening, not just in our university, but in a lot of universities and higher learnings today. Be bold. Don't expect a pat on the back. Don't expect admiration. In fact, a lot of the time, you're going to get ridiculed. You're not going to get acceptance. You're going to get rejection. Be prepared for that. If you're one of these individuals that has to have a pat on the back every day to live, I mean to tell you, you better stick close to Spirit-filled believers, because the world is way past that. Back in the days of the Old West, some of you like the Old West movies when chivalry was still alive and the honored ladies, and they stood up, men stood up when they came in and took their hats off inside the house of God or inside of a normal place out of respect. Those days are gone. And so we have to be aware that we're living in a time when things are going to get worse as well as get better. So be bold. Believe God for great things in these last days. I've got this down here. Pray big prayers. Pray big prayers. Some of the prayers that we pray are just normal prayers. Some of the prayers that we pray are just we don't know if God answered them or if it's just the way things turned out, because our prayers are so normalized. Our prayers are just so marginalized. Pray big prayers, faith-believing, God-honoring, soul-winning prayers, and keep a prayer list. I hope you don't rely on your memory when you tell people you're going to pray for them. If you do, half of the time when you tell them you're going to pray for them, you're fibbing. You just as well write it down. I am a fibber. I said I would pray for so-and-so, and I can't even remember who they were now. Keep a prayer list. Be bold. This is no time, I put in your notes, for compromise. Christians ought to be bold and open about our faith. The other day I was sitting in a place here in town, and a guy... they know I'm a preacher. They call me Parson. They were talking, and they were talking so I could hear purposely. And one of the guys said, he was telling the other what he believed in the other. He said, "Well, we'll need to check with the parson there to see if he believes." And I said, "Well, you know, it's not a matter of really what the parson believes. It's a matter of what the Bible says. You're not going to be judged by what I believe. You're going to be judged by what the Word of God says." And both of them were very cordial. They were gracious in that case. But even if they had not been, that was the Word of God for them in that moment. Put on the whole armor of God, number three. Take time to read Ephesians. You know all that's so familiar about the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. We must do it by faith, always praying, never giving up, asking God to help fellow believers stand strong under the pressure. Some people in their occupations face a lot more pressure than we do in this area. And some people in this area face a lot more opposition in their profession or in their job than others do. You go out to some of these companies, and I'll tell you, you better be prepared for every day having somebody say something contrawise to the Christian faith and even making fun of you or ridiculing you or talking behind your back. Ladies and gentlemen, that's part of the price that we pay for standing for Jesus. We're not to feel sorry for ourselves. We should wear it almost as a badge of honor. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. What are we to do in those times? Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Put on the whole armor of God. No one said being a Christian is easy. You signed up for a fight when you gave your heart to Christ, and that fight is going to get more and more intense. No one gets a break from the battle. We're under attack 24/7. Some of you refer sometimes that your greatest struggles are during the night when you wake up. That's why I recommend having something there that you can plug in your ear and listen to the Word of God, or you can get up and go read some Scripture, or you can get down on your knees by your bed and pray. Stay strong when your faith is tempted the most, and sometimes that is at night. Here's number four, march in a tight formation. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, think of ways to encourage one another to outbursts of love and good deeds. I really like that. Think of ways to encourage one another. And let us not neglect our meeting together. This is from the New Living Translation. As some people do, but encourage and what? And warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back again is drawing near. We need to warn one another. I have a counseling session set up over the phone for 7:30 in the morning here, where some parents are greatly concerned about their daughter who lives in another state. This is not a church family. It's family I've known for many, many years. But their daughter had served in God faithfully and moved to another community, another state, to take a new job, and now she's involved with a hooligan. Isn't that sad when somebody that's been brought up and has made a profession, we've known this girl for years, and now she's living with a hooligan that her parents are greatly concerned, and they said, can we talk about that tomorrow morning at 7:30? And I said, yes, we certainly could. March in a tight formation. Eugene Peterson paraphrases the first verse of 24 when he says, let's see how inventive we can be in helping others. Other translations speak of spurring other believers on. How? We can do that by a kind word, by a phone call, by a note, by praying for them, even when they don't know we're praying for them. If you pray a lot, I can tell you right up front, 95% of the people and things you pray about, nobody else will know about. But that's the way it should be. We enter into our closet and pray in secret. And the things that we pray about in secret, our Heavenly Father will honor and reward us in the days to come. It's okay to tell somebody, I'm praying for you. That's not a bad thing. That's not a boastful thing. But I'm just telling you that if you're a praying person and you have a prayer list, 85 or 90, 95% of the things that you pray for will never be known by the other individuals. We often, Dory and I, will get a list from people and they'll say, Pastor Larry, we pray for you every night of the world. And I think to myself, praise the Lord. And there's people that we pray for every night of the Lord, of the world beyond our. We all pray for our children every night. I know we do. We all pray for our children, our grandchildren, our great grandchildren, their spouses, and that takes about 20 minutes just to get through all of them. And then you get to all of the other people and situations and circumstances that you pray for. So I'm telling you right up front: march in a tight formation. In other words, stay close. This is no time. This is no time to think you can make it on your own. This is no time to ever think you don't need the church. The church needs you, but you need the church. March in a tight formation. Jesus is coming back soon. The signs are around us. We can encourage other believers by showing up on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights and small groups and times of prayer. Do those things that are honoring to God. This is no time to wander off on your own. If you watch these safari movies or wild animal movies, you'll see those lions laying in the bushes and they're looking through the weeds. I don't see how they ever see anything, but they move their head a little bit as wildebeest go by or antelope go by or gazelles or zebras or whatever they call them go by. And what are they looking for? The one that's just munching along and not paying attention. And pretty soon, he himself is the lunch that he was munching on. All right? So, be alert. Live without fear. Number five, live without fear. I just thought the message this morning, Pastor Rich, was so, that's such a, the Bible says in the closing days of time, men's hearts will fail them for fear. You know why men's hearts will fail them for fear? Because they forget that God is sovereign. The devil's on the throne, but God is sovereign. I watched a deal the other day of some tourists up in Yellowstone, and here the buffalo came down the road, and you could hear it as they were filming it. The husband told his wife, "Roll up that window, roll up that window." And I thought to myself, if that buffalo wants to come in, that little window isn't going to be much of a protection against that. And then I did see it where a man and a lady wandered out, and the buffalo charged them, and she fell down. And her friend said, "Stay down, stay down, stay down." And she had sense enough to stay down. And the buffalo came up and looked at her and decided that it wasn't worth goring her. But she was a very fortunate person. I want to tell you, live without fear. March in tight formation. Do not be frightened, but be sensible. Be sensible. Stand for Jesus. Christians ought to be the calmest people on earth because we know the Lord and He holds the future in His hands. Do you believe that? That the future, these are the best of times. They're the greatest opportunities that we have to witness right now that's ever been around. Christians should be fundamentally optimistic. As we look at the cultural and moral decline around us, it's tempting to conclude the bad guys are winning. But I want to tell you, they aren't. God keeps the score. And even when it looks like the bad guys are winning, they are not. In the end, God wins, and He wins big. The Bible predicts in times in the last days, God will shake the nations so that only those things that cannot be shaken will remain. Hebrews 12:26. When Eugene Peterson paraphrased the last part of that verse in the Message, he said, God will shake the earth, and I like this, getting rid of all of the historical and religious junk so that the unshakable essentials stand clear and uncluttered. Are you living with the thought in mind of keeping yourself free of the shakable essentials and living in the unshakable essential realm? Tough times are coming. Don't be surprised. These will be great days of evangelism. The weed and the wheat will grow together. You can't tell. Sometimes out in the world, it's pretty easy to tell the weeds or the darnel from the wheat. But you can't always tell that because it says in the closing days, some people will have a form of godliness. They will try to identify with you in an attempt to lead you astray. And then here's the last one. Travel light. Travel light. It's time to do some spiritual house cleaning. You ladies call that deep cleaning, when you really go the extra mile in your homes. Time to look under the rugs and shake the rugs and behind the couch and vacuum the corners of your soul. Time to clean out the rec room. Time to seal the cracks in the foundation. Time to shore up sagging walls in your heart. Romans 11:20 puts it very succinctly when it says, stand in your faith. There is no plan B for us, friends. In these closing days of time, there's no plan B. We have to understand that we are living in the worst days of time that will get worse increasingly as we draw near to the coming of Christ. I firmly believe that we will see things in a few years. We are at a place tonight where if you look back, you never dreamed we would be at 10 years ago. None of us, or 15 years ago, you don't have to go very far back before you think, I never thought I'd see those days in America. If Jesus tarries, I think we will see an increase, an ascending increase in the things that we will say, how can that be in a nation that claims, or at one time had, a foundation of Christian ethics? So, my words to you tonight are this. The only hope that you have, the only hope that I have is in the blood of Jesus Christ, claiming it, cleansing us from all sin. Charles Dickens said, as he began that epic novel, A Tale of Two Cities, it was the best of times and it was the worst of times. I think that describes what lies ahead as we approach the end of the age. Satan will unleash his full arsenal, knowing his time is short. Therefore, we should not be surprised when it comes difficult ages. But this age also will end with an unprecedented spiritual harvest. I don't know how, when, it doesn't look like that now, but I do believe that there will yet be a time that will be the fulfilling of the prophecy of Joel spoken to us in Acts, that there will be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We should think about it. We should pray for it. Grant that we might not despair, not even a little bit, because of the darkness of this hour. Help us to shine the light of Jesus everywhere we go. Pray for a huge harvest of souls. Intercede daily, devotedly, determinedly for the lost ones in your family and for the lost in our nation and in the world. We say with all the saints of all the ages, even so come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, these are difficult days that will become, I believe, your word teaches, apart from the rapture, days that will become increasingly darker. That's the worst of the times. But I also believe that you have said, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters, your old men and your young men are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit in a measure that will be considered miraculous and stupendous. Help us as Bible-believing, fervent Christians to stand strong and to stand true for Jesus. Help us to keep an eye on the dead stick of our times. We are not to doze off or to get far away, get isolated. Lord, keep us with an eye on the goal, with eternity's values in view, and the eternal principles of your word in our hearts and minds. We pray in Jesus' wonderful, powerful, precious name. Amen.